You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Thursday. Welcome to All Marine Radio, broadcasting like totally live from Las Vegas, Nevada. Yeah, you heard me. Totally live. So finished up last night. Went and had dinner at the fire station. Yeah, my Lance Corporal, who's now a captain in the Las Vegas Fire Department, he said, "Hey, why don't you come have dinner with us? My guys would love to have you over." I said, "I'd love to, man." So old Lance Corporal Radiff. And then, but people are saying, "Isn't his name Radiff?" I said, "No, his name's Radiff." So I see him. He finally shows up. On the third day of me doing it, he shows up, because that's when his guys were supposed to go. And he says, and I said, "Hey, how do you pronounce your name?" He said, "Radiff." I said, "So for all these years, all of us have mispronounced it." He says, "Yes." I said, "You little baby, why don't you correct this?" He said, "I don't know. It seemed like the right thing to do." And yesterday spent another great day with the firefighters, the first responders of Clark County here in Las Vegas. And is Really cool. Really cool. I'll talk about a little bit about the statistics involving first responders here today. And I have to tell you, you know, more than ever, you know, I believe that, you know, post-traumatic winning is the absolutely appropriate path. And I have to tell you that I sometimes people with advanced degrees come and they get their nose out of joint. And I don't want to say that I don't give a fuck, but you know, they're part of the system that we have. And that system is not working. That system's broke. That system's broke. It's broken the Marine Corps. And, you know, from what I can tell and talking to firefighters and I'm not talking about just Clark County, but other people as well. You know, I mean, these guys, I mean, they don't use it. And so to me, it's really interesting, you know, the conversations that I have. Now, let me tell you some interesting stuff about my program, about the program. Now, for those of you who listen, this will not surprise you, and some of you will laugh, but, you know, I present it just as you hear me here, you know, it's characterized as raw and in your face, but it's not. I just tell the truth, right? And I speak like I speak, and so there's a fair amount of profanity, and that might be an understatement in it, but it's conversational profanity. I've never had one person email me, not one, and say, hey, you know, I think it'd be better if you kind of modified your language. Never had anybody. You know, what I've had people come up to me and say, don't ever change the way you do this. So, the first thing I think about when I think about the class is that who the audience is. I don't give this for people with advanced degrees. I give this to people who are operators. I give this to people who are my peers, the people that I've lived with, the people that I've worked with, the people whose language that I speak. So, you know, if you have an advanced degree or somebody and you come in and you don't like it, I don't give a fuck. Go the fuck away and go keep tending to your fucking system that doesn't fucking work. And let me just read for you some numbers. And these are national numbers. Okay, so as I was doing research, you know, to come up here, I learned a little bit about, you know, the world of firefighting and the mental health problems of firefighters. And I mean, I didn't know shit, right? I didn't know shit. So anyway, here's a general piece of data, right? Now, mind you, well, this is a survey, so it's applicable to, you know, respondents, right? So a survey of more than 4,000 first responders found that 6.6% had attempted, not ideated, 6.6% had attempted suicide, which is more than 10 times the rate of the general population, right? 6.6 had attempted, okay? So that's a data point from 2017. The next data point, the footnote to the data point, is we believe this is underreported by about 50%, okay? And here's the data point. The study found firefighters die by suicide at a higher rate than their police counterparts, as well as the public, at a rate of 18 per $100,000 per 100,000 people, versus 11 to 17 for police officers. So depending on which study you grab. So let's pick a number in the middle. 11 from 17 is what, 6? So let's say 14. We'll average that out. 14 for police officers for every 100,000. And the general population is at 13. Okay, so general population 13, police officers 14, and firefighters at 18 per 100,000. You know what the Marine Corps was last year? Or in 2018? 31 per 100,000. The Army's at 24. Right? And know this, 83% of the Marines that took their own lives in 2018 had never even deployed. Never deployed. Right, so you look at that, and it's like, oh, you know, combat, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, no. So, I mean, those numbers are pretty interesting, right? They're pretty interesting. And so, and Frankel would tell you, the issues people deal with today that are so overwhelming are not mental health issues. They're not schizophrenic. They're not bipolar. They're not manically depressed. They're overwhelmed by life. They're overwhelmed by life because they don't have the coping mechanism to deal with it. People are surprised. The average age of a veteran suicide, let me see if there's any updated information, but let me see if I can find that number. Average age of veteran suicide. This is from an article in NPR. VA struggles to unlock the reasons behind high suicide rates among older veterans. And I'm looking for a number here. And I'm not seeing it. Maybe I found it right here. But, I mean, it's pretty, I mean, most people are shocked. Most people are shocked at the rate of, that the average, you know, age for suicide among veterans is not like 30 years old. Because it's not. And so, nationally, the suicide rate among all adults rose from 2005 to 2016, nearly 21%. That's for everybody. Among veterans alone, the rate was up 26% over that span. So the rate of suicide in veterans higher than the rate in the general population, or the increase in that period of time higher than that of the general population. According to the report, the suicide rate for veterans ages 18 to 34 steadily increased from 2006 to 2016 with a jump of more than 10%. That translates to 45 deaths per 100,000, the highest of any age group. That's not the data I want, though. Anyway, so let me give you another data point here. So I found another, it's actually a graph, and I'll describe it to you. Now, again, the footnote is that, the footnote to this is the source, right? I think it's the Firehood Behavioral Health Association estimates a suicide report rate of about 45%. So these numbers, like, you would double these numbers, okay? So what you had in 2009 was line-of-duty deaths were at 95. Suicides were at 40. 2010, line-of-duty deaths at 90. Suicides, 50. 2011, line-of-duty deaths, 95. Suicides, 60. 2012, line of duty deaths, 90. Suicides, 95. 2013, line of duty deaths, 110. Suicides, 70. Now again, every one of these numbers they believe to be half of what the number should be. Okay? So let me now double the numbers, right, among suicide. 2014, line of duty deaths, 90. Suicides, the number reported, which is believed to be 45%, right, is 125. So let's double it, 250. 2015, line of duty deaths, 90. Suicides, reported, 150. Right? So suicides, 300. Estimated. 2016, line of duty deaths, 95. Suicide, 140. So that's 280. I mean, so you can see this trend. It's horrible. Right? So you have, you know, you have two or three times the amount of firefighters dying by suicide that than you do as active duty by on duty. And so, anyway, and it's interesting in talking to them because, you know, the consistent thing they told me was, yeah, we don't talk about it. We don't talk about it. But, you know, again, that's the default system. Default system in, you know, I know in the Marine Corps, it's acceptable. It was acceptable to be a high functioning alcoholic. We don't keep low functioning alcoholics, but we keep high functioning alcoholics, right? So, when you show up, you either suck it up and get after it or, you know, or you don't go. You know, fire department has the exact same ethic. And so, and then you don't have mental health programs, right? And then all of a sudden, you know, mental health. So, do you want to be the first guy that goes? Nobody does, right? And the organization tries to stand up its mental health program. When it stands it up, is it a good one? No, it's not. You know, it's embryonic, right? I mean, is it... You know, is it better than nothing? Arguably. Is it good? Is it something that gets them? Is it something that they want to go to? Do they come back to the firehouse and say, hey, man, what an awesome experience? No. So when it's not like this, those that go initially, they come back and say, what? Wasn't worth my time. I wouldn't go back. So that's just the grim reality. And again, some people get pissed when I say that kind of stuff. You know, and I don't know what they want me to say. And my attitude is, look, am I not supposed to tell the truth? Cause it hurts your fucking feelings. Honestly, man, I don't give a fuck about your feelings. Right. I give a fuck about their feelings. So moderately awkward conversations. And the thing I love about post-traumatic winning is that it speaks to them. Man, it speaks their language. And so the more I think about this, right, and I, you know, in all the conversations I've had over the last 3 days, you know, the system is designed by people with advanced degrees, and they're not broadcasting on the frequency that these guys are receiving. And I mean, in all genres of this thing, right? The eggheads who put this shit together. You know, I played for you, you know, the audio that I used in the presentation with Matt Kiker and Sergeant Doe. You know, and they both say the same things. I had to go to that thing, and I was so fucking pissed, man. I did everything I could do to get out of going to that shit because I fucking hate it. Why do they ask yourself a question? Why do they hate it? They hate it because it sucks, man. It sucks. And, yeah, I mean, it's brutal. And so, I mean, in my opinion, again, now, the first time I've ever done it for a firefighting organization, a first responder organization, and, you know, their reaction is awesome, you know. Coming up afterwards, shaking your hand, you know, want to talk to you. Thank you. Thank you so much, man. We've never seen anything like this. You know, the guys yesterday were like, we've heard about this for 2 days. Right. And so we were kind of anxious. I told them, hey, you're getting a version that I didn't do the first 2 days because I've learned about you guys over these days. Right. And I focused a little bit, you know, more on the senior guys in the room. And I said, hey, look, I'm gonna pick on you guys. First of all, you guys know that because of your reputations, because of, you know, the sway you hold over younger guys in this organization, if you want to say, hey, he's moderately entertaining, but fuck that guy, right? You can do that. But you know the system that you grew up in, that suck it up or get the fuck out system. And that system has given you this in 2019, all right? 70 line of duty death, right? And reported suicide of 120, okay? Which is estimated at 45% of actual suicide. So let's double 120, 240. You have three times as much suicide as you do active duty death. And so I looked at him and I said this, you know, here's my challenge to you, especially you older guys. You know, I can't tell you how I'm always touched. I always stop and watch when there is a funeral for fallen firefighters. Okay. When firefighters from around the world converge on some place, wherever this happened, and they roll out their honors for somebody. I said, I always find it, you know, with the bagpipe music and the way you guys honor your fallen heroes, you know, I find it incredibly moving. But here's what I'd ask of you. And I'll you know, straight up say it to your face. I would ask you to be as dedicated to each other in life as you are to each other in death. And somebody came up to me afterwards and went, whoa, where the fuck did you get that? And I said, it just came to me, you know, as I was, you know, that's a powerful visual image, right, of all of you out there. I said, but look, man, you're dealing with three times as many suicides as you are, you know, on-duty deaths. The on-duty deaths, you know, pale in comparison. So if you look at, you know, 240 suicides and then add 80 to that, right? So that's 320. Okay. So 25% of your deaths are operational. Which issue deserves more of your time? Right? And the answer is, well, they both do. Okay. Tell me what you would focus more of your assets on. Well, suicide. Yeah, no shit, man. And the problem is this whole PhD-led, you know, system is what gives us these fucking numbers. You know, that's what gives us these numbers. And it doesn't, what they do does not resonate with these guys. And so they don't embrace it. They ignore it. So, which perpetuates the system of I go to work and I fake it. I come home and I don't talk about it. And I try to do that for my whole life. And that is the whole don't let the monkeys out of the cage. You know, Vietnam era mental health advice. And that's how you get these fucked up statistics. And then there's, you know, then there's the second trail that goes off the first one, right? So you're already past faking it. You're already past I don't talk about it. Right. And you've already thrown it into the closet. Right. Now the intersection with trail number two is this. alcohol, right? Some guys, you know, some people don't get, you know, don't get, how do I say it? Don't get involved in alcohol, but others do. It's a wide path, man. It's not, you know, it's not a footpath. It's a fucking super highway. And that's how we get there. And you get there because you don't commune. We don't speak the truth. And that's what they kept coming up to me and saying over and over again. Like, thank you, man. It's crazy. All you did was say things that were true. I'm like, it's stupid. It's stupid. That path that has been created by people with advanced degrees is giving us these fucking numbers. And there's another path, right? In my opinion, that has been carved out by operators, people that do it, right? It is their truth. And you need to broadcast it on their frequency, right? And that means you need to be blunt and you need to be honest and you need to speak to the things that they know. They know to be real and they know to be true. And we're just not doing it. We're just not doing it. And as a result, we have more and more and more of this shit. And it's just, to me, it's extremely frustrating. You know, to hear these guys who say, we just don't talk about it. In 2020. Now, the suicide numbers that, you know, that I read you, right? In 2009, if this is 50%, they would have reported 80 suicides in 2000. In just 2009, that's 11 years ago. All right? So, they reported 40. We'll estimate 80, right? In 2019, they reported 115. So we'll estimate 230. That's in 11 years. At some point, doesn't your PhD have to show results? Or do we just keep doing what they say? And let me just tell you. Organizations are led by guys who, you know, you want to stick your neck out and stand in front of the PhD? And the answer to that is no, they don't. And so we keep doing what the PhD says. So to me, that's a really important part of post-traumatic winning, especially in the early years of this, is, you know, getting to organizations, you know, keeping your fingers crossed that they embrace it. Right, hoping that what they do for each other is reflected, right? And again, to me, it needs to be more operators involved in this and less PhDs. Okay, this is blue collar mental health. Okay, this is not people that are schizophrenic, people that are bipolar, right? People that are manically depressed. That is not what this is. This is people that are overwhelmed by grief. Overwhelmed by trauma, right? And they don't see a path to live a great life. Well, guess who can show them the path? Guess who can articulate the path? Some fucking egghead who they never hung out with, had a drink with, or whatever? And let me tell you the answer to that. No. Right? No. Fuck no. You have to let firefighters look at other firefighters and say, hey, man, I've been there. Come on, let's sit down and talk. I can help you. I can show you the path to the promised land. It's a happy place. And I'm glad you're here today, right? You did the right thing. But it's them, in their language, broadcasting on their frequency. And for me, it's just really frustrating. And I try to be respectful to everybody, but God damn it, man. At some point, you got to put up a number, man. You got to show what you're doing is having an impact. And when the people that I run into say the same fucking thing every fucking time, that is, I've never seen anything like this, man. This was awesome. Thank you. What are we doing, man? What are we doing? And I mean, they tell stories about, like, I don't know, I consistently hear stories about people telling them to hold a rock. Like, what? Like, so... Anyway, so, I mean, the last 3 days have been awesome. My guy, Nick Ratta, captain type now, Lance Corporal to me, and I'm never going to pronounce his name Radiff, so just don't even go there with me, right? Yeah, I got invited to his fire station for dinner last night. He said, yeah, come by. The guys like to meet you. We're having tri-tip. So I finally finish up, and I'm on my way over, and I get there, and it's like, yeah, we burned the tri-tip because we had to go on a call, so we got pizza. I'm like, are you shitting me, man? What kind of bullshit Lance Corporal move is that? Like, he's like, it happens all the time. It happens all the time. So got to hang out with he and some of his guys and at their station, and then got a tour of the station. They gave me a t-shirt. Honestly, I'm fired up about that. And now let me just tell you, I mean, one of the coolest parts of this is doing it with one of my Marines, right? In that connection that's 35 years and 5 months old endures. And that, you know, that, you know, and Nick's a good dude, man. After I saw 13 months ago, after I'd done this for the 2nd Division for the first time in January of 2019, I reached out to him and I said, hey, man, I would love to come do this, you know, for your guys. And so he got to work on it. And, you know, he and I talked a few times, and then he introduced me to their training guy. And then when I got up there, I came up here in November to speak. I auditioned it for him. And then they said, yeah, we got to talk about it. And then they got together and talked about it. And they said, okay, you know, we'd like to bring you in. And, you know, so that's, so I mean, that's one of the coolest things is, right, the enduring nature of our tribal relationships. And this none of this happens without, you know, Lance Corporal Radiff. And and you know what? There's nothing like hanging out. So last night, he and I are just sitting around shooting the shit, and we're talking about, you know, when we served together in 1984 and 1985, and the stupid shit, right? That the stupid shit in the platoon that happened. And, you know, just dumb stuff, right? Like, we were up at Cave Springs. And we're asleep. And it's kind of a admin bivouac because, you know, we weren't doing shit. And somehow or other, a buffalo wanders in to our bivouac area. And all of a sudden you hear one of the Marines screaming. I think that this buffalo's looking at him. Buffalo's looking at him. And he said, I was in my bag and I could hear this, like, you know, this, like, sounded like a fucking monster. And then I just thought it was somebody fucking with me. And so I said, get away from me, man. Quit fucking with me. And he said, I didn't even stick my head out of the bag. And it didn't stop. It got louder. And then in the old green sleeping bags, there was a hole for your face, right? And you could pull the drawstrings and tighten that thing down for when it got really cold. But he said, I stuck my eyes, like, in front of the hole, and I'm waking up, and I look, and I'm like, what the fuck is that? Now, and he's from Jamaica, right? His name is Burke. All of a sudden, he said, I'm look up, and it just dawns on me. It's a fucking buffalo. He starts screaming, man, like he was dying. And now you're trying to get out of your sleeping bag in the middle of the night, right? And you're trying, the zipper's all fucked up. You're trying to get out of it and shit. And then you, like, get out of it, and you're like, you know, your eyes are trying to focus, and somebody's screaming, and guys are yelling. And then, you know, and you don't have your boots on, right? And you're trying to get your boots on. It's like, it's a total shit show, right? And then all of a sudden, somebody yells, it's a fucking buffalo. It's a fucking buffalo, right? And we're like, well, fuck, what do we do, man? We can't, we don't, I mean, it's not like we have any round. I mean, we can't shoot the fucking thing, right? And so guys are, like, yelling away with their hands. And the thing, like, looks at us, and then, like, slowly walks away, right? And then we were talking about, we did initiations one night. This is old course shit, but the first time you went to the field, you had to E-tool qualify or do a psychological sit-up. And he was laughing his ass off about the night we were talking about. And so it was the first night I'd gone to the field with the company. And we were, so, I mean, I could always do sit-ups. So, but psychological sit-ups, right, it's a trick. And it's like, we're going to blindfold you, and we're going to see how many sit-ups you could do. Well, what's the problem? Like, I won't be able to, you know, what's the deal? Well, no, because you're blindfolded, you know, the way your body is, you'll get vertigo, and you can't do more than, and they're like, what's the record? So, 13? Right? And I'm like, I can do more than 13 sit-ups. That's bullshit. All right? And so, but what they do is they blindfold you, and then they get somebody to pull their pants down, and then once they, you know, they have you do a few practice sit-ups, the guy would come and squat, right? Put his the crack of his ass, like, above where your head is. So when you do your sit-up, right, your nose goes right in the crack of his ass. So anyway, yeah, that's the trick behind psychological sit-up. And but you, I mean, it's the whole company standing around watching it, to include our company commander. So before they actually did it, I said, I'll do psychological sit-ups. And they're like, hey, Lieutenant wants to do psychological sit-ups. And my company commander comes walking up behind me. And he says, Mac, you're not doing psychological sit-ups. And I turned my head and I said, sir, I'm really good at sit-ups. And he looks at me. He said, what did I just say? I said, yes, sir. I said, I'll etoqual. And so they're like, got it. Lieutenant's going to etoqual. And they were like, fuck. And so Nick last night is laughing his ass off. He said, do you remember how funny that was? I said, that shit was funny. But sure. So, you know, they say go, right? And dude's head comes off the ground, smacks into somebody's ass. And it was this kid named Reed. Right? He was a big, nasty kid. Oh, man. And the Marines, they have, you know, they have their cameras out, right? And, like, they flash all these pictures when this kid's nose hits Reed's ass. And so the kid's shocked, right? You don't expect, when you're doing a sit-up, you're like, all of a sudden, boom, they don't know what happens. So he goes back to the ground, and then he goes back up into Reed's ass. And they're taking more pictures, and people are yelling, get that ass. And he did it one more time, and then he rips the blindfold off. And he's like, oh, what? And then the whole place goes crazy, right? Everybody laughing. And you know, he's embarrassed, but he's laughing his ass off. And you know, it's just part of, right, you know, hey, welcome to Charlie Company. And then we did etoqual, which is you hacked up your cover, right? And it was just, you know, it was this fun and stupidity of, you know, boys doing stupid things. And you know what? It was never, you know, like, oh, hazing. It was just funny, right? And, you know, the guys who had it happen to was like, all right, hey, next time I want to be part of that. All right, next time it's your ass, all right? And then, you know, the next time we'd have initiations a few months later when we got new guys, we'd do it again. But, you know, it was nothing but funny. And Nick was, we were talking about, we were laughing our ass off. But it's just, you know, just an awesome experience. I had firefighters that come a second time to see it. And it's not a short, I mean, even I tried my hardest to shorten it, but it's still probably two hours presentation. When I shorten it, it's just, you got to get through stuff, and you can't, even when you try to shorten it, you know, it still takes time. And they'd come down and talk and like, hey, Mac, this is so cool, man. I just find so much of this useful to me because I've been struggling with some of this stuff. I'm like, man, let me just tell you, it is all from life's our tribe. It's from our experience, and that's what I love about it. I said, but look, you know the deal. If you consume it, you got to share it. That's the deal, right? And you know, and then they look at you and they say, no, I have so many friends that are struggling with this stuff. You know, I can't thank you enough. I'm so excited, you know, to send this around. And so I mean, it's just been, it was a great experience. But again, it's just, you know, to me, it's broadened the lens for me that the problem's more significant than we think. You know, and maybe the DOD might be out in front in terms of effort. But as I tell my kids, as I often say, life is not intentions based, man. You know, if you're trying hard, that's good, man. But if you're not putting up points, if you're not putting up a number, right? And don't give me that shit. If it wasn't for our effort, this stuff would be way worse. I don't buy that. I do not buy that. You gotta make that shit go down. You gotta make it get better. And if you're not doing that, then we gotta find somebody else. And I do believe it's my, and then yeah, you got guys saying, you know, it's funny because they come up to you and then they say that things that I know. It's like, Mac, there should be a version of this for high school kids and college. I'm like, you're preaching the gospel, man. I'm with you. Right? This is not a firefighter thing. Huh? You're right. It's not. It's a human being thing. So no, it's just a great few days here. And so, I owe a huge thanks to the Clark County, you know, fire department, to their local union, you know, and both of them who sponsored it. So, just a great honor for me, and I'm exceedingly happy that I could do this with one of my Marines from the Goon Platoon, right? 3rd Platoon, Charlie Company, 1st Battalion, 5th Marines. So awesome few days here. I'll tell you the other thing. It's been colder than shit here in Las Vegas. Last night was the first night there was got actually quite, I walked out, and it wasn't freezing ass cold and windy. So temperatures here in the desert, like, yeah, it's getting some of that desert cold. So anyway, probably ought to open the show, right? Good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps band makes this morning official. And this is dedicated to Lance Corporal Nick Ratiff, who's now a captain in the Clark County Fire Department. This is dedicated to Aaron Suzuki, who was instrumental in getting this up here as well. He's one of the training guys with Clark County Fire. And then the guy who introduced it 12 times, who had never really spoken in public before, his name is Aaron Rupp. He was one of the... he's one of the EMTs with Clark County Fire Department, and he's one of the first guys that got to the mass shooting on October 1st of 2017 here in Las Vegas. And he stood up every time. He talked about, you know, his struggles, his anger after the fact, and so this is dedicated to those three guys who were huge in making the connection here, huge in bringing it here, and then huge in presenting it every day. So my thanks to them, and well done, boys. Oops.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, time to check weather here on your home for it. The 50,000-watt weather machine, All Marine Radio. Currently in Quantico, raining in 41. Camp Lejeune, sunny and 70. I'm sorry, cloudy and 70. Nice. 29 Palms, 20 degrees difference from 24 hours ago. Sunny and 55 right now in 29 Palms. Camp Pendleton is colder than 29 Palms. Go figure, right? Sunny and 48 at Pendleton. Clouds at 64 at Camp Smith in Hawaii, along with being dark. In Okinawa, dark, cloudy and 64. In Afghanistan, in the opium capital of the world. The Helmand province, it is clear, dark, and 46 degrees. In the Al Anbar province of Iraq, it is dark, cloudy, and 62 degrees. At the home of Al Marine Radio, sunny and 52. Yeah, looking for a high of 65 today. In Southern California, where I'm going to head to in a couple hours. And then, let's see, here in Las Vegas, yeah, it is partly sunny at 43, looking for a high of 64. So back to normal here in Sin City. Only one shithole weather entry, and that's from Nancy today. Hi, Mac. It's 38 degrees on the way to 42, cloudy with light winds from the northeast at 5 miles an hour. A wintry mix overnight is pretty slippery. Rain on the way down to 27 degrees overnight, which means it's going to freeze. That's not good. So glad that Las Vegas, Nevada is now post-traumatic winter country. Yeah. Now, you know, one of the things I hammered on everybody yesterday, because of, you know, spending time with guys and talking to them, is the unique opportunity they have to write history. I believe that. I mean, I believe it's in their power to do what the Marines and sailors of the 2nd Marine Division did. And that's them. That's just understanding it and then getting after it. And not, you know, not babying them, but challenging them. Let's go. Let's go, man. Let's fucking do this shit. Right? And, you know, you have so many people that are so frustrated and pissed about it. And which makes it all really cool. You feeling okay? From the sound of your voice, it's a bit rough this morning. You know, yeah, I feel fine. I'm a little tired. But, you know, my days, because of the way they're scheduled, right? You know, people came on their training day, all right? And so they would have four different groups do it. Well, you know, they tried to get it done starting at 8:30 and then 10:30, 10:45, and then 1 o'clock, and then 3 o'clock. So that gave me maybe 15 minutes between events, right? And then Aaron would talk for about 10 or 15. So depending on how long I, you know, my went, a lot, sometimes I would, you know, I would go over the time and we would be late. So he'd stand up and talk for 15 minutes and I'd get up and do it again. So, so it's like 2.5 hours maybe, or 2 hours and 15 minutes of that me's talking. So it's me talking for maybe 9 hours a day, the last 3 days. So I feel fine. But my voice is a little rough. And then go down and do kind of an event tomorrow. At the Marine Corps or the Marine Expo West. So looking forward to that. I'm going to have one of the battalion, his squadron commander that brought me down to do it with his Marines. I'm going to have him speak a little bit too. So looking forward to that. There's another email. Mac, would you say that the DOD is ahead of the civilian side? I do believe yes. And it might be because they have more resources. Might be because of the wars. Might be because of both those things. And again, that's, like, look, everybody's trying, right? Everybody's trying. But again, I think that a lot of the efforts, again, here's where I start. I go to the end user and I say, well, what do you think? And if they just shake their head and say, it's a joke. I don't care if they're Marines. I don't care if they're cops. I don't care if they're firefighters. That's the state of your program. If that's what they say, like, I did not want to go to that shit. If that's what they say, then you've got a fucking problem. So You know, I don't, what do you say to that? What do you say to that? And the answer is, you know, God help us. God help us. Because it's not good. It's not good. And again, and then you just look at the, you know, you just look at the end product. The Air Force suicide rate doubled. You know, doubled. What do you say? Good job, everybody. Great. And then you go talk to the airmen. Well, what do you think? And I'll tell you, you know, you should see what we get. It's like stupid. So, I mean, to me, if you won't deal with the truth, then you're not going to make progress. And again, I just don't know that PhDs, what you need is you need real people that have worked, that walked in their moccasins, people that have lived that life, that speak that language, right? You need them to design the system, right? You need them to be there. And so if you don't do that, it's just, I just don't know. I mean, honestly, who should be counseling another firefighter? And again, here's the thing. If you accept that it's not a classic mental health thing, do you need a PhD? Or do you need an experienced firefighter who's been trained to help people get through the struggle? I'll tell you what I would do. I would bring in, you know, the best firefighters, the most reputable as quality people, and I'd teach them post-traumatic winning. I'd say, you know, and I'd say, hey, you come and hang out with these guys, talk to these guys, these icons of your profession. These icons of your profession, and guess what? They're going to teach you how to live with the burden you live with. They're going to teach you how to live with the burden you live with. All right, let me do just some quick headlines. American Armored Units best airborne in deterring conflict overseas. You know, that sounds like okay, but like I think it's a stupid headline. I guess it depends where we're talking, right? Airborne units light and have a very specific, it's not like they're equal or something. I don't know. Slow news day in Stars and Stripes, evidently. Let's see. Navy swaps submarine for destroyer in the 2021 budget request. Next headline. Trump promotes 100-year-old Tuskegee Airman to Brigadier General. How awesome is that? Can you do that? President Donald Trump on Tuesday pinned a single star on each shoulder of the 100-year-old Tuskegee Airman Charles McGee, giving the World War II veteran and the veteran of Korea and Vietnam an honorary promotion to Brigadier General. That is awesome. That is awesome. Congratulations, General. Spacemen and space cadets are out as Pentagon officials wrangle with what they call a Space Force member. Come on, you know they're going to get called spacemen. Spacemen! Space Force! Senator quizzes VA about delaying Agent Orange decision. You fucking think? Would we need to study it longer? Senator Sherrod Brown, Democrat from Ohio, urged top Department of Veteran Affairs health officials Wednesday to fast-track benefits for Vietnam veterans suffering from multiple diseases thought to be caused by the chemical herbicide Agent Orange. Fuck. Come on, man. next headline. Air Force B-52 bombers train with fighters and Japanese allies in northern Japan. Ruh-roh. That's aimed at you, Mr. Kim. That's aimed at you, Mr. Xi. Marine recovers father's ashes. Community pitches in to help after moving truck is stolen. Good Lord, man. Somebody's household effects being moved and it gets hijacked? Russia voices concern over new U.S. submarine launched nuclear weapon. Let me tell you the problem that Russia has. There was also the Air Force tested a new reentry vehicle. And this is the problem Russia has with backing out of treaties and stuff like that. They cannot compete because they don't have the hard currencies and the resources to compete with the United States. That's a problem. They can't compete economically. Okay? So, you know, we've talked about Vladimir Putin rolling around the world playing, right, playing, doing his Dr. Evil impersonation. Well, the impersonation ends when you cannot, you can't, you don't have the financial means to play that game. And he doesn't. So expect more vehement protests from Russia about this kind of stuff. Yo, dude, you violated the treaty and you played bullshit games. Now you want to do that? It's like the same thing with putting Iran on blast. We're not going to play your proxy games, right? If my son Michael, right, slips on a banana peel and his skull gets cracked in 15 places because of that, if he gets shot by a cop, or if he hangs himself in his jail cell, I'm going to come looking for you, right? So President Trump telling Iran that, right? I'm coming for you. I'm not coming for anybody else. And I'm coming for you inside Iran. Know that. I'm not going to play your stupid fucking games anymore. So, so you stop screwing around with these people and you want to play that game? Fine. U.S. troops have been squaring off with Russian contractors in Syria, raising worries of a wider conflict. You know, this has been going on for a while. I was last night, Nick was talking, asking me about, you know, the Russians and what they do in Syria and stuff like that. And so I was talking, I said, you know, they squared off with Delta Force, you know, I don't know, maybe a year ago. And the first reports came out of Russia with all these funerals that were happening in these towns. And they said, yeah, they were killed by Americans. But nobody ever heard of it. You want to know why nobody had heard of it? Because the SEALs weren't involved in it. It was Delta Force, and nobody said a fucking word. But the Russian mercenaries, right, which is the game Putin plays, so they take off all their patches. They say they're mercenaries, right, financed by the Russian government. And then, so what they had, I don't know, they had like a company of tanks. They had like 10 tanks. They had BMPs. And artillery. And so the soft guys that were in this firm base with, you know, what Syrian Democratic Forces or whatever the hell they were, the Kurds, I think. And they're watching these guys in an assembly area get ready. And they're like, what are they doing? Like, are they going to attack us? And bigger than shit, they deploy the artillery, right? And they start shooting. And here come the tanks. And let me just tell you this. You know, counterinsurgency warfare is hard, okay? For us, when you get in tanks and you're in a formation, right, and you do that shit in the open, dude, you are going to get annihilated, right? You are going to get annihilated. People will become, they will be hyperventilating on the way. Like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I cannot believe this is happening. I'm going to finally get to whack these son of a bitches. And they killed between 200 and 300 Russians in the attack. So this stuff in Syria has been going on, right? And, you know, it normally doesn't turn out well for the Russians. All right, top five stories in early bird, then we'll take a break, and then Jeff and Tim are going to join me. Number one, the impeachment trial is over. Now can Congress get defense work done? We shall see. Number two, Air Force test launches intercontinental ballistic missile. I told you about this, right? Yeah. So the Russians, you don't want to play by the game, but by the rules, all right? Then we'll up the ante across the board, and you're not going to be able to play with us because you don't have the financial resources. Number three, in challenging China's claim to the South China Sea, the U.S. Navy is getting more assertive. The U.S. Navy conducted more freedom of navigation operations in 2019 than in any year since U.S. began more aggressively challenging China's claims in the South China Sea in 2015. Well, that's good, and it's appropriate, right? The Chinese can't decide that it's going to close down parts of the earth just because they fucking say it so. Fuck them. And again, I mean, what? 18 million people in Taiwan, they don't count because, you know, everybody's going to turn their back on them because they want to trade with China. And China says, yeah, you got to act like they don't exist and they belong to us. Right? Come on, man. Like at some point, doesn't the free world stand up and say, okay, all right, Taiwan is its own separate country. We've got to get beyond that or else we can't do this. And do it as a group, and that's how you deal with China. Stupid. More than 300 evacuees from China are set to arrive at Travis Air Force Base and at the Marine Corps Air Station, Miramar, California. So good luck to everybody there. Number five, Space Force troops will not be called spacemen. I think we will still call them spacemen. You're a spaceman? I am a spaceman. What are you? Space Corporal. Space Corporal McNamara, sir. I'm Space Sergeant. You know, like, I'm Space Lieutenant. Space Lieutenant. Ah, right. Space General. That shit's going to be awesome. Overseas headlines real quick. Afghan special operators partnering with U.S. forces more often, still reliant on American support. Next one. Iraqi officials say Baghdad wants to minimize reliance on U.S. military in the fight against the Islamic State. Right? And I want my hair to grow back, too. But that ain't going to fucking happen. Okay? So, right? The Iraqis can say whatever the fuck they want. The reality is that if they want to sustain their regime, they got to keep Big Brother close to them. Because they know their own military sucks. Yeah. Sorry, it's the way it is. And they've seen it happen over and over again. Russia voices concerns over new U.S. submarine-launched nuclear weapon. Oh, really, Vlad? You loser. U.S. troops in standoff with Russian military contractors. Russian military contractors. Good one. Right? Good one. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Tim Lynch and Jeff Kenny will join me. So, more of All Marine Radio coming up next on this Thursday from Las Vegas, Nevada. Whatever you do, don't touch that dial. More of this great program coming up next.